Does psychology end after Matan Torah? Matan Torah is a watershed event in Jewish history, where Jewish history completely transforms and completely changes. And now, instead of just being a tribe, a band of people who are centered around a certain identity and around certain ideas, we now come into a new relationship with Hashem. So does that mean that any psychological properties that normal humans have, we lose after Matan Torah, and we enter some different rarefied realm? In the third sicha for Parshas Vayetze, in Likutei Sichas Chelek Aleph, the Rebbe takes up this question. And the Rebbe concludes, perhaps, unlike some might think, that the normal human psychological qualities that all humans have still adhere to the Jewish people even after Matan Torah. This will have important results for learning halachas about how to behave from before Matan Torah, meaning we'll be able to learn about human psychological qualities from before Matan Torah and see how they apply even after Matan Torah. And it'll also help us understand the relationship between the world as it was before Matan Torah and the world as it was after Matan Torah. The Sicha begins as follows. This is an Ois Tess of Parsh Vayitze in the Kut Sichas Chelek Aleph. The Erst Nisuin was very beshriben in Torah as Nisuin from Yitzchak. The very first marriage we learn about in the Torah is the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka. Aber wegen Yitzchak's Chasim vet beshriben mer nid vid achonus der Chasim. But by Yitzchak and Rivka's Chasim, we only learn about the preparations for the Chasim. The Erst Nisuin was the Torah beshait beproti is the Seder from the Chasim alein. The first wedding where we learn in detail about the order of the wedding itself is the Nisuin of Yaakovin Bechiratis. It's the marriage of Yaakov to Leah and then Rachel. And Yaakov is called Bechir Avis, he's called the chosen one of the forefathers, because Yaakov represents the culmination and the integration of Avraham and Yitzchak's Avodah. We learned off from them, Kamadin and Vizdarv Zayin, they're Seder from Yiddish Chasana. And by analyzing the narrative of Yaakov's Chasana to Leah and then Rachel, we learn many laws and many particulars about how it is that a Jewish wedding is meant to be run. From the pasuk Malish Vazizgim, Vashtait by Yaakov's Chasana, Lightman up. From the pasuk where Lavan tells Yaakov, finish this week, finish the week of this one, finish the week of Shev Brachas that belongs to Leah. We learn Pikud de Rabbi Eliezer, two dinim. Aleph, the first din is, dem din from Shivis Mamishta, that you're meant to have Shev Brachas, you're meant to have 7 days of partying after the wedding. And Beis, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. We're not meant to mix two joyous occasions. Thus, hastening to say, as the simchas chasana, that if we didn't machin that zeit for an other simcha, you're not meant to have this chasana at the time of some other simcha, say like simchas yomtiv. Fragment of them. The question is asked in this: in plug, is das doch kegin dem klal as ein lemeid mikad matan Torah? This idea that we learn these two dinim in halacha from Yaakov's chasana seems to be against the general rule that you're not meant to learn halachas from what happened before Matan Torah. We see this rule in Chazal, in the Yerushalmi, in the Meir Katan, Per Gimel Halacha Hey, and Tosfos also quotes this rule, and we all see in the Medrash Rabbah that Ein Lemeid in Halacha Koidim Matan Torah. You're not meant to learn out laws from what happened for Matan Torah. Nachman, moreover, in the Tzvei Lemudim Gufa, is there a din for Shivis Mei Mishta nor Adir Rabbanon? If the Meir Shin Tog is the Asfara, this is the Reisa, but the Ibrika Teg Zayin Zichel Adir Rabbanon. When it comes to these two things that we're learning out from the 7 days of rejoicing by Yaakov Avinu, the 7 days of rejoicing themselves are only din Adir Rabbanon. When it comes to joy on the first day, we might think that that's the Adir Reisa. But the other days are certainly only a chiyu to rejoice mid rabbanon. Vayal says nit kein drasha gemura. Under time of them kem and zogin vayal ein lemeid mikad matan Torah. And the reason why these 7 days are only the rabbanon is because our learning of the 7 days is not a complete drasha. We can't completely base the 7 days on this pasuk about Yaakov's 7 day party with Leah and then with Rachel. Under Talmud Dan, Kemen Zogin, Vela Ein Lebed Mikud Mantir. We might say the reason why Shever Brachas is only the Rabbanon is based on this rule that we don't learn halachas from before Mantir. Hi, Tviyaz Alayim Menop from the Mizalbim Pasuk, the halacha for the Ein Barvin Simcha Simcha. So if that's the case, that you can't learn a din deraisa from something that was taught before Matan Torah, how is it that we'd be able to learn out a din deraisa from the same pasuk that ein barvin simcha v'simcha, that you're not meant to mix two joyous occasions, which ladas teisves, which according to teisves, is a drasha gemura on deraisa. That this rule of ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha is a proper drasha, it's a proper exposition from the pasuk, and it's a din deraisa. Their tirutz eftem is, the way to resolve this dissonance between the two limudim is, as their klal in the meidim mikayid matan Torah is in yonim fun halachas dafke. This rule that we're not meant to learn out things before matan Torah is specifically relegated to halachas, because we learn mesachas pav basra, nit no Torah v'nischad shah halacha. Once the Torah was given, halacha was innovated. So whatever the religious practices were before Matan Torah, now we have new religious practices, and those supersede all the other ones, all the earlier ones. Abrin yonim from gilui tchunas nefesh adam. But when it comes to matters which are just revealing the characteristics of human psychology, kemen upler in oich from far Matan Torah. We can learn human psychology, human character, even from the way that people were before Matan Torah. Vayel in them is netakin chiluk fun far Matan Torah bis noch Matan Torah. Because when it comes to psychology, when it comes to human characteristics, there's no difference between the way things were before Matan Torah and the way things are after Matan Torah. B'meila is verstandig der chiluk fun di tzvei der matadini. So now it follows we can understand the difference between these two dinim, these two rules, which we learned out from Yaakov and Leah's wedding. Meaning number one, that you're meant to have Shev Brachas, and number two, that Ein Barav and Simcha B'Simcha. So the first one is only the Derabbanan. The idea of Shev Brachas is only the Derabbanan, whereas Ein Barav and Simcha B'Simcha is a Din Deraisa. Vegin Shivis and Mishnah, when it comes to Shev Brachas, that have been uplearned in Halacha. That's a Halacha. That's talking about a particular religious practice. Masha'in kein be'inin ein ma'arv and simcha b'simcha, which is not the case when it comes to ein ma'arv and simcha b'simcha, this rule that we're not meant to mix two joyous occasions, that's a psychological assessment. On far matan Torah lein menop nor dosis negeat tchunas ha'nefesh. And when it comes to before matan Torah, we can only learn that which is relevant to one's psychological qualities. So now, based on this story of Yaakov and his two weddings, we can learn, we can know this rule of Ein Ma'arav and Simcha B'Simcha, that you're not meant to mix two joyous occasions, and that just is psychological truth, as we're about to explain. In Tchunas HaNefesh, when it comes to psychological qualities, Kenen Zayin Tzvei Svaris, we can have two thoughts. Aleph. B'shas ha-mench is in a gevisser t'nuah shtimung. When a person is in a certain mood, when a person is in a certain headspace, azoy vi t'nuah fun simcha. Like, for example, the mood or headspace of joy. It's a gam di simcha is fun b'shtimtin inyin. Although it's the case that the joy derives from something, from some discrete thing, from this vegan, helf das euch zu der simcha fun ander inyin. The fact that they're having joy from something else should enhance the joy they feel from thing A. So cause for joy B should only add to cause A. V'al sizdach tizal b'tnua. And the reason being that these two points of joy are the same mood. Beis, the alternative thought we might have is, b'shasa men shteit natuv an simchom, it's advelech as a siba, if a person is in a state of joy for whatever reason, is nit nor v'ti simcha health nit, to an under simcha. Not only is it the case that some other cause for joy will not assist the state of joy they're currently in, nor other but just the opposite. Eshtert noch, it disturbs that state of joy. Hagam as beidim misubavim, zayin from the zelber tnuah, although it's the case that both results are coming from the same sort of cause, vibaldar b'disibah zayin farshidna. But since the causes are in fact different, b'meila, it follows, m'valbil ena d'tzeita. One disturbs the other. Muzdas areya reisku min oich in the misubavim in their simcha. The different causes for the joy express themselves in the joy. Let's say the joy of getting married and the joy of Yom Tov. These are two discrete types of joy. And if you mix the two joys together, they won't be enhanced, but rather they'll be diluted. Undas, and this psychological fact, learn from the pasuk Malei Shvuzis. We learn from the pasuk which where Lavan tells Yaakov, finish the week which belongs to Leah. Finish her Shefer Brachas. Azevi did say the svar. And that coheres with the second svar, the second logical possibility as to how two joys, two causes for joy, might interact. And then it follows that we'll know this rule of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha Simcha. Simchas Chasen V'Kala Dar Zayin, Azevi Yeder Simcha Shal Mitzvah. The joy of a chasen kala must be like every joy of a mitzvah. Aza simcha, unin aza oifin, as men zol dortin zayin in gansin. Simcha is meant to be such that a person is completely engrossed, completely enveloped in the simcha. Vayal mitzvah is kiyum ritzon yizbarach, because mitzvahs are the fulfillment of Hashem's will. When they're meant, darfis ton mitzay egin im ritzon. And a person needs to make their will like Hashem's will. You need to make your will like His will. Vazdemot is their mensh dartin. And if a person truly wants to fill Hashem's will, then a person is immersed in Hashem's will. He's there. Via the Mayim Baal Shem Tov, like the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, bimakim shiritzoyne shal adam, in the place where your will is, the place where you want to be, where you want to be, that is where you are. Meaning to say that where we are is really not so much a function of our geographical location, but rather is a function of our desire and a function of our inner psychological headspace. So you can have two people or many people occupying the same city, the same town, but since they all want different things and since their psyche, since their consciousness is drawn in different directions, they are inhabiting different spaces, even though they're in the same physical space. So in order to be fully present in a state of joy, a person's entire consciousness needs to be invested in that state of joy. Since the joy, the rejoicing of the chasen kala needs to be the sort of joy where a person's entire consciousness is. Learned been up from the fire material as in tchunas hanefesh, is ein simcha meval b'detzveta. We learn from before Matan Torah that one sort of joy will disturb a second. Veis from the derech hamelos that we automatically know as ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha from a tzveter mitzvah. Veis meval b'tzu der simcha from their mitzvah. So the Rebbe is saying that this idea of ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha is not a halachic categorization. It's not a legal category, but rather it's an assessment of human psychology. We might have thought that joy is something where you'll have more joy, the more causes of joy that you mix together. But, says the Rebbe, we learn instead from this idea of ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha that true joy comes from being in a state of focus. Joy is more intense if it's grounded by presence. And if one is completely present in a given stimulus for joy, then the joy will be all the more greater. And as a result, this is not a halachic kviya, but rather it's a psychological assessment, and then we can carry out that psychological assessment in terms of being kviya halacha, in terms of setting out halachas. So thus far we've learned that we can apply psychological realities or psychological assessments from before Matan Torah to after Matan Torah. Now the Rebbe asks, this is a very nice thing, but what does this teach us spiritually speaking, cosmically speaking, metaphysically speaking? The Rebbe explains in Usul Beis Nesicha, the declaring from them in Ruchnius, the clarification and application of this in spirituality is, the Ovis far Matan Torah, the forefathers before Matan Torah, they reached with the power of their divine service all the way up to the root of creatures, meaning they got as far as any human would be able to go spiritually without divine help. That's the highest rank of spiritual achievement that humans can get to without any divine assistance. But all their work was spiritual. Meaning, the Avos meditated a lot, they had very deep spiritual understanding, But their spiritual work was not transformative. They did not have the capacity to take physicality and make it sacred. They could not say, take tefillin and turn the tefillin into a dovish abigdusha, into a sacred object. Or they couldn't take klaf, they couldn't take cowhide and turn it into a sefer Torah. And the reason being, the reason why they could not affect this transformation is because, as the Medrash and Shmei Rabbah tells us, that there was a gzeira, that there was this proverbial decree from Bnei Reimi LeYerdu L'Suriyah, Bnei Suriyah LeYerdu LeRaimi, V'yishtei Medrash Rabbah. Medrash Rabbah says that there was a divide between the spiritual realms and the physical realms before Matan Torah, and gives the parable of a travel restriction between two provinces in the ancient world, a travel restriction between Syria and Rome. So you have these two different provinces which are not able to intermingle. But when the Torah is given, in this battle governed the Gzeira, then the decree is nullified. And then spirituality and physicality are able to intermingle. Over the Ebesh Zokt, and as Hashem says in that Medrash, Vani Hamaschel, I shall begin. And the Pasuk tells us, by Yerid Havai Al Har Sinai, V'Al Moshe Omar, Alei Al Hashem. That Hashem descends upon Har Sinai, and to Moshe he says, ascend to Hashem, meaning Hashem is the first one who brings the spiritual and suffuses the spiritual into the physical. So is Itzter now noch Matan Torah after Matan Torah came an Eich Durach Adavar Gashmi der Langin und Vereinzigen sich mit Atzmahu Sein Zeh Baruch Hu Kivyachol. Now, in a post-Matan Torah reality, we're able to reach and unify ourselves with the divine substance and essence of Hashem. V'ruom Dosa B'kech Yisbarach, because this is coming from Hashem's power, as Hashem says, Vani Hamaschel. Humans should not be able to break the boundary between the physical and the spiritual. But since Hashem transcends the physical and the spiritual, and is neither physical nor spiritual, but is rather the source of both qualities, as we learn in many places in Chassidus, so for that reason, Hashem has this power to bind the two realms, and using Hashem's power, we are now able to bind the realms, even though we ourselves have not worked in ourselves. And the idea being that the Ovis reached the zenith of human spiritual perfection. Imagine someone who contemplates on Hashem all day, somebody who meditates, somebody who fasts, and engages in all sorts of deep spiritual practice, and is a deeply refined person. The idea that we're saying here is that without a superhuman input, it would be impossible to suffuse physicality with spirituality, no matter how great you are. But now, after Matan Torah, Hashem empowers every one of us, even those of us who have not engaged in serious spiritual efforts, to be able to suffuse physicality with spirituality just by doing a seemingly minor mitzvah. That explains the meaning of Chazal's teaching that we can't learn from what happened before Matan Torah, because the Torah was given and a new halach was innovated. Before Matan Torah, there were certain paths and ways in which one could rise above to the heavenly realms. And there was also a limitation on how far one could go. But after Matan Torah, the Torah is given, and there are new halachas. There is a completely new way of serving Hashem. After Matan Torah, Hashem gave us new ways through which we'd be able to rise up. Ways in which, even through a mere simple action with a physical object, we'd be able to climb from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs. For the Stegim, nonetheless, is das was neged tchunas hanefesh lemin yob from fire Matan Torah. Although it's the case that we've said that when it comes to suffusing the physical with the spiritual, the rules change after Matan Torah, when it comes to human psychological characteristics, that we can learn from the way humans were before on Torah. Why is that? Weil durch Kiyum von Torah und Mitzvahs darf man bewahr sein, mitaken sein, den Yonim was ein Gewinn für Matan Torah. Because through fulfilling Torah and Mitzvahs, we need to clarify, elevate, and perfect the things that were in the world before Matan Torah. We need to rectify, for example, Shaviras HaKelim, the shattering of the vessels. So what exactly is this Shaviras HaKelim thing? So the Arizal, in Kabbalah's Arizal, discusses the evolution of the world as it is now from divinity. A Yesoy, the foundational principle in Kabbalah's Arizal, is that Ha'adam hu Olam Katan. A person is a small universe, meaning we are the microcosm of the macrocosm. And the human psyche is reflected at all levels of reality. Kabbalah tells us that there are 10 spheres, there are 10 psychological qualities which inhere within a person. And these 10 qualities also describe how it is that reality is set up. Just by way of example, we'll give two of them, Chesed and Gvura. Chesed would be the desire to be kind, to give, whereas Gvura is the impulse to be judgmental and to withhold, to be extremely idealistic. So the Arizal explains that originally the 10 spheres emerge in a world of tohu, in a world of chaos. That is, the 10 spheres are not integrated, but rather they channel themselves in their purest, strongest, most unadulterated sense. So imagine if you have two people, one who has a characteristic of chesed, and another with the characteristic of gvura, and both of them fully express their characteristics to the extreme, they will come to conflict. The mashal given is that Michael is called Sar Shalmayim. The Malach Michael is called the minister of water in the universe. And Gabriel is called Sar Shal Ish, the minister of fire. So if these two forces come into contact with one another without any mediation, without any attenuation of their characteristics, they will certainly come and extinguish one another. So in the world of Tayu, you have these 10 spheres, you have these 10 psychological qualities within the universe's consciousness, and they cannot coexist because they're expressing themselves too strongly. So as a result, there is a shvira, there is a shattering, and that reality cannot exist, and instead, Hashem recreates an alternative reality called tikkun, meaning the world of repair. And this is a place where the 10 spheres express themselves in an integrated way. So chesed is not pure chesed, but rather chesed is integrated with all of the other qualities of psyche. And gvura is not pure gvura, but rather gvura is integrated with all of the characteristics of the psyche. But since the evolution from tohu to tikkun was not a gentle one, but the world of tohu shatters, it breaks apart, so there is still the shivri kelim, there are still the shattered vessels within our world. And this is not a shir on tohu and tikkun, so we're not going to go into it. For those who are interested in a excursus on tohu v'tikkun, the Rebbe Rashab has an essay in his book, Sefer Ha'amarim Tafer Samachei, called Vayigdilu Hana'orim. It's an essay on Parshas Toldos. And he has a nice 20-page explanation of the concept of tohu v'tikkun with many other ma'amar kodmos for further research. But the point being that the world that we're in now is olam ha'tikkun, it's the world of repair. But in addition to whatever work we're meant to do in this world, there are also the shivri kelim, there are also the shattered vessels of the prior reality of tohu in our world. And Kabbalah Arizal says that there are sparks, there are sparks of light, sparks of goodness, which are trapped within the debris of Olam HaTohu, of this world of chaos. And now, our job in the world of repair is to find those sparks of holiness, which are in apparently unholy places, and raise those sparks up. So for example, if you eat a burger could potentially be used for evil, it could be used for negativity, it could be an expression of your animal impulse, or you could eat that burger using it for Torah study, or even better than that, you could contemplate on the divine life force which is inherent in the burger. You could contemplate on the divinity which is within the burger. And that would be an act of elevating the divine spark, elevating the holiness which is in that burger. But for our purposes, what's relevant here, we're talking about Olam HaTohu and Olam HaTikkun, is that the world that we're in, the reality which we are inhabiting, doesn't get totally transformed after Matan Torah. There's still a lot of history in the world. There's still a lot of things which aren't right, which need to be rectified. So one of them is this reality of Tohu and Tikkun. Another one is Chet Eitz Hadas, the sin by the tree of knowledge, on the Ibrik HaTayim, and then the other sins which happened afterwards. And the Medrash Rabbah tells us that there were seven big sins between the times of Adam Rishon and Avraham Avinu. And Matan Torah did not completely liberate even our inner selves from the impact of these sins. Because after the sin with the golden calf, the filth of the primordial snake re-enters the Jewish people's consciousness. But the Rebbe notes, but not all of the Zuama, not all of the filth as it was originally. Gemara Shabbos tells us that when the Chet Itzadas happened, when Adam and Chava sinned with the tree of knowledge, the Nachash HaKadmoni, the primordial snake, is Hitil Zuama Bechava. He injects filth into Chava. The Nachash contaminates the human soul. He contaminates the human race and takes away from their inherent goodness. And then the Gemara in Shabbos says that at Maimon Har Sinai, the Jewish people were unique, and that they were the only ones from whom Pascha Zuah Masan, that this filth which had entered humanity, leaves the Jewish people. And now the Jewish people have a more clear soul, a soul that is not clouded by the ego. But then they engage in Chet Egel, and the Zuama, this spiritual filth, returns. However, it's not as much spiritual filth, so their souls are a little bit more healthier than their souls would have been without Matan Torah. So it follows, given that we need to perfect, we need to rectify so much history from before Matan Torah, Zayin Negiat Tchunas HaNefesh from before Matan Torah. It's relevant to perfect and rectify the psychological qualities that are from before Matan Torah. Vibald. As Mendarv Zayin Mevar Zayin. We need to clarify, we need to rectify, we need to elevate these psychological qualities. And if you're trying to fix a problem, we need to know who we're dealing with. So we need to know ourselves. We can't run away from our negative selves. We need to understand that we're human beings with a psyche, and we need to deal with that psyche instead of hiding from it. Thus is Abre Alts, this is Benegatsu, the misspire. This, however, all applies to the person, to the object of clarification, to the thing that we're trying to elevate and perfect. But b'negeatzu the mivarer undi ifanaf berurim, when it comes to the way and method in which you're meant to clarify, perfect, and elevate the reality that we're given, is ein lemeidim mikid mantera. There, with respect to the means of perfection, you can't learn from how things were before mantera, v'al nitna toyvin schachalacha. Because the Torah is given, the Torah gives us new paths in which to rectify the fallen world that we inhabit. So thus far, we've learned something very interesting about Matan Torah. Matan Torah is in fact a paradigm shift, but it's not a total shift. In that, after Matan Torah, we're still left dealing with the same world that we had before Matan Torah. There was a fallen world, there's a world in which there's a Chet Tzedas, a world in which there's a Shvirus HaKelim, a world in which there's a miut hayreach, a world in which there are many different sins that people perpetrated, many different civilizations perpetrated over the years. And the advent of Matan Torah does not magically wipe away all the trauma, all the negativity that exists in reality. We still need to transform reality, we still need to uplift reality. Only that Matan Torah does help us with the fact that now we have new ways in which to uplift reality. But then the question becomes, is Matan Torah the final stage on the journey? Are the tools that we're given at Matan Torah the only tools that we have to work with? Or perhaps Hashem gives us more tools as history progresses? So there's a big yesod in Chassidus that Hashem is nisgala, Hashem reveals himself to us in every generation in a different way. He reveals himself to us in the generation Kifin Yoni, in accordance with the nature of that generation. And the Alter Rebbe speaks about this at great length in Torah Or, on Daf Kuf Chof Amud Gimel, that there he discusses how Hashem reveals himself throughout the many generations, and he talks about the Torah of the Tanoyim and the Amiroyim and the Balei HaTosfos and the Rambam and the Rasag are all very different. As we go through Jewish history, we see that as each century develops, you have different Torah that's revealed. And the reason being is that in every generation, the Torah needs to reveal itself in a new way. But Chassidus says that there's a watershed paradigm shift, particularly when Chassidus is revealed. Chassidus offers us a new dimension. It offers us new paths within Avodas Hashem, which were prior to Chassidus not accessible. So it's almost like a mini Maim Har Sinai, and that's what the Rebbe goes on to tell us in Ois Yud Gimel, the final Ois of the Sech. The Rebbe says, Chodesh Kislev is the Chodesh HaGeula and Chodesh von Nisim. Chodesh Kislev is the month of the redemption of the Geula. And that's because, most prominently, that the Alter Rebbe, the Baal Tanya, was released from Tsarist prison. And there was a concern that the Alter Rebbe was going to be executed as a Mirid Malchus, as somebody who was rebelling against the Tsarist regime, because there were Jews who did not like the Hasidic activities of the Alter Rebbe. So they went and told the Russian regime that the Alter Rebbe was a rebel, when in fact he was not. And on Yud Tes and Chof Kislev, the Alter Rebbe was cleared of those charges. So in that sense, it was Geula for the Alter Rebbe, was a vindication of the Alter Rebbe. But it wasn't only a vindication of the Alter Rebbe, it was also a vindication of all of the Hasidim. It was a vindication of all of Hasidus. And we also know that Kislev is the Chodesh of Nisim, the month of miracles, and that Hanukkah, the miracles of Hanukkah, happen in Kislev. Uve Chodesh Hazeh, and in this month of Kislev, Haben Rabbi Seymen Nisinu uns Megalgeven Pnimis Atera B'Yeser, Uve Erchove B'Yeser, was Hazit Achayas Eslavas Oichen Gal de Teira Un Yehemetzes. And in this month of Kislev, the Rebbeim of Chabad would reveal more Hasidus, in that they would have a Ferbengen with his Kislev. The Rebbe Rashab, the Friedrich Rebbe, would always have a big Ferbengen with his Kislev, and they would reveal a lot of Hasidus on Yutis Kislev around this time. And says the Rebbe that when one has the Hasidic perspective, that also leads one to have much more passion and much more life within their study of the regular realms of Torah, the revealed realms of Torah, the Torah that talks about more mundane things, or the Torah that talks about cut and dry rituals and legal procedures, as well as when one has the Hasidic perspective, one has more passion in life in their fulfillment of mitzvahs. Es is nit gleich der limut in gal yoter in der chayis in kiyem ha-mitzvahs, eider veis pimus ha-teir, zu nochtem yer veis pimus ha-teir. The Rebbe says you cannot compare the passion with which one engages in Torah study and the performance of mitzvahs before they've studied Hasidus and after they've studied Hasidus. Hasidus completely changes a person's perspective on Torah. And it's interesting that when you read Likutei Sichas in a certain sense is like an advertisement for Hasidus, because the Rebbe is going to give you many basic Hasidic ideas and important perspectives, but the Likutei Sichas itself is not a deep dive into lofty, heavy Hasidic concepts. You're not going to get the full range of Hasidic metaphysics, psychology, ethics, hadracha on tefillah. That's not really going to come out if you just study Likutei Sichas. I mean, you'll definitely get kernels, but you're not going to grasp the entire conceptual system. That said, Likutei Sichas definitely conveys a lot of the warmth of Hasidus, a lot of what we would call the Hasidusha Achluchas, Hasidusha vibes. But that said, don't think that after you learn the Sicha, you've grasped the Hasidus that the Rebbe is referring to. The Rebbe is telling you about Hasidus, which he hopes that you'll go then and learn. Perhaps in a book like Likutei Torah, Torah Or of the Alter Rebbe, perhaps in Tanya of the Alter Rebbe, for those who are more advanced, perhaps in the Maimarim of the Rebbe Rashab. But returning to the text of the Sikha, says the Rebbe, the idea from Pnimis HaTeira, Gittim HaChayis and HaSimcha Eichin Nigla, or in the Maisa Mitzvahs. One's knowledge of Pnimis HaTeira, the interiority of Torah, the Hasidic perspective, gives a person a life force and joy also in the revealed parts of Torah and the fulfillment of Mitzvahs. Undos al derech hanal, uvesign hanal, aninin, funizgal Pnimis HaTeira, funizchad shalalacha. So, in this sense, this is like another stage within the revelation of Matan Torah. Pnimiyas HaTorah comes along, Chasidus comes along, and that gives us a new path in Avodas Hashem. And by Halacha, the Rebbe says, Eifani Halicha Avodas Hashem. We now have new paths in which to serve Hashem. Thus was Eider, Nizgal, Givarin, Pnimiyas HaTorah, Hotniken, Dergechen. That which, before the revelation of Chasidus, we were not able to spiritually achieve other noyachidus gula, or perhaps only the elect, the select few were able to spiritually achieve. Other menot gedarft onkomen zu yayi atzuma b'nesivus shvilim, or alternatively, it took a lot of effort on very fraught spiritual paths in order to reach these certain spiritual understandings. It's there now that we have Chassidus, nisgalat Torah v'nischadsha halicha b'derech hamelech. A new Torah, a new path in Torah has been revealed, and we now have a more direct way of achieving the states that we're meant to achieve. So let's unpack this idea for a moment. Most people who keep Shabbos have a certain feeling of elevation on Shabbos. Now, these people may not have worked very hard in order to achieve that state of elevation. It just, by keeping the halachos of Shabbos, putting on the nice Shabbos clothes, eating the Shabbos meal, going to good Shabbos Sudah, going to Shul, all that puts one in a certain headspace of elevation, of tranquility, and of connection to Hashem. Now imagine if you didn't have this institution of Shabbos, if you didn't have the halachos of Shabbos, didn't have the community which keeps Shabbos, as an individual, to achieve the same state of tranquility and bliss that many frum Jews keep on Shabbos, that would be a much harder thing to achieve. In a similar fashion, what the Rebbe is saying here is that Chassidus opens you up to new dimensions of experience, which would be much harder to achieve if you didn't have it. Perhaps to illustrate the point, there was once a big Misnagdish Rav who had expressed a very strong animosity towards Chassidus and the teachings of the Rebbe. But he had certain experiences. He spent a certain amount of time in Eretz Yisrael, where there's a certain greater openness to Hasidic ideas. And then when this Litvish Rav came back to America, he started to have charata about all the esnagdus that he had expressed towards Lubavitch. So one day, he goes to the Lubavitch Rebbe's Ayel, to Davin. And there he sees a young Bacher. And the young Bacher had spent much less time learning Gemara than this fellow had. And perhaps this Bacher, this Chassidish Bacher, who the Litvish Rav saw davening, he wasn't as refined as Litvish Rav, hadn't necessarily worked as hard as Litvish Rav. But nonetheless, Litvish Rav saw this Bacher davening, he says, wow, there's something happening here. Clearly, this Bacher is privy to some special experience. So after the two had walked out of the oil, Litvish Rav asked the Bacher, how is it possible that you were apparently achieving such a lofty spiritual experience when I was not achieving such an experience? So the Bacher said, it's very simple. I learned the Maimer of the Mitler Rebbe, of the second Lubavitch Rebbe, called Lehovenin Nishtat Chosal Kivei Tzadikim. This Maimer which talks about prostrating oneself on the graves of the righteous, and it talks about the various levels of spiritual understanding that one can get to. And I sat with that Maimer, I contemplated on that Maimer. Now that I have the conceptual understanding of that Maimer, I was able to apply it in real life. So in a certain sense, Chassidus is almost like a shortcut in that it gives us these paradigms for self-understanding, these paradigms in Avodas Hashem, which were much harder to access before Chassidus was revealed. And the Rebbe says, as Ali Yidin can in Sukkum and Sudim Alim Durich Limud Pimis HaTeir V'alich B'adroch Yisrael on in Dem Oich Dem Inyin HaSimcha, that through the study of Pimis HaTeir, through the study of Chassidus, and following the paths of Chassidus, the Menhagim of Chassidus, the various teachings that Chassidus stipulates, all Jews are able to achieve new degrees of spiritual insight, which they had not yet been able to achieve, or which were much more challenging to achieve before Chassidus was revealed. And amongst those things is Simcha, this idea of joy. That was one of the Baal Shem Tov's demands, that you have to serve Hashem with joy. And this began even before the Baal Shem Tov. And it's known that the Arizal, one of the great Mikubalim who lived in Tzas in the 1500s, he achieved Ruach HaKodesh, this Hashem's Holy Spirit rested upon the Arizal, because the Arizal did mitzvahs with joy. The point here being that one of the things that Chassidus Mechadesh is not just very deep spiritual ideas. It's also a certain attitude. And one of the attitudes that Chassidus tells us is to be in a state of joy. And it's not just Chassidus Breslev, but it's all Chassidusin who follow the Baal Shem Tov. All people who truly follow the Baal Shem Tov and are not just Chassidic in the sense they have a Chassidic culture, they wear a shtreimel. To bring this point out, there was once a Litvish Rav, Misnagdish Rav, who walked by a Beis Medrash. And the Beis Medrash was sitting, a Chabad shliach who worked for Chabad on campus. And on the Chabad Shlech's computer was a very interesting sticker. It said on this sticker, "Do Jewish joyfully," which is a Chabad on campus's tagline. So Lutashim Mestanglis Sharov, who's a very well-known, prominent mechanech, he said, it says, "Do Jewish joyfully. Don't you know that it says in the Gemara in Berachos that Aser Leila Adam Shimale Piv Schoik Bo'ilam Haza? It's forbidden for a person to laugh, to fill their mouth with laughter in this world, Shenemar, as it says in Tehillim, in the capital that we say before benching on Shabbos. Oz Yimale Schoik Pino. Only then, in Olam Haba, will we fill our mouths with laughter." And indeed, particularly since Chor Mes HaMikdash, there was definitely a very strong sense of Kovid Reish, of severity, of moroseness, which may have pervaded Jewish communities. But the Arizal, but certainly the Baal Shem Tov, were Machadesh, that in our times, now that we're getting closer to the times of Mashiach, it's very important to do Jewish joyfully. And Adrab, the fact that we're joyous in our Judaism will make it more likely that Jews remain committed to Judaism, that Jews stay Jewish, and that their Judaism is fuller and more impactful. Finally, the Rebbe notes that even though we have this new Giloy, this new revelation that happens on Yuthis Kislev, the Rosh Hashanah LaChasidus, the Matan Torah of Chasidus, nonetheless, Chasidus still comes to deal with the same fractured world that we've inherited. It's not as if the fracture goes away. We still need to deal with the world's brokenness. It's just now we've been given new tools in order to fix that brokenness. Based on this insight that we learned before, that we can learn psychological characteristics from before Matan Torah and apply them to the reality as it is after Matan Torah, that's certainly true even when it comes to Inyanim of Chasidus. And that's true for all of us on a personal level. Is Dachwavus, it's well known as Kemat Al Neshamas on Unzer Doris, Zain Nit Kain Nayin Neshamas. Nor Zain Rabkum Gilgul, Oifen Mal Zain Yonim von Frier. Und Beichel Belim Rater. The Rebbe says is a well-known idea from the Arizal that the neshamis, the consciousnesses that we inhabit, our consciousness as an individual, these consciousnesses have been in the world before. Your consciousness likely was in some other body, in some other time, and it fulfilled a certain mission, but it did not complete the mission that it was meant to complete in this world. So there's a concept of Gilgul, which we learn from the Arizal, but it's a very, very deep ancient Jewish tradition. And it says the neshama has to come back over and over again until it perfects and rectifies itself. So us being here now, the fact that we're here now after the revelation of Chasidus means that our neshama, which did not previously learn Chasidus, now needs to learn Chasidus for its own perfection. The Alter Rebbe rules in his Shulchan Aruch, in the rules of Talmud Torah, in the rules of Torah study. Hein in pshat remez drush, hein in soid. Kefil yechiles hasagosei v'sharshei v'nafshei l'mayla. Unor durich dem kentin shaman tzukum in l'stakin l'shalim v'tzorechayim v'sashem b'mkira asher chutzva misha. The Alter Rebbe tells us that every Jewish soul comes down in many reincarnations. And in those reincarnations, it must study every element of the Torah and engage in every mitzvah. And only through that does neshama achieve its ultimate perfection. And the idea being that those of us who are here living in the 21st century are here because we're meant to fill a mission that our soul has not yet fulfilled. And the fact that there's Chasidus in the world means that part of our mission is to study Chasidus and then use the tools that Chasidus gives us to perfect ourselves, to heal our fractured selves, and heal a fractured world. Let's summarize the Sicha. What changes at Matan Torah? And is Matan Torah a one-time event? Or is Matan Torah part of a progression? In Lekutei Sichas for Parshas Vayetze, Chelek Aleph, the third Sicha, the Rebbe addresses the story of Yaakov Avinu's messed up Sheva Brachas. The morning after Yaakov's wedding, Yaakov realizes that he's been given the wrong bride. Instead of receiving Rachel, Yaakov receives Leah. So Yaakov goes, he complains to Laban. He says, Lamari Misani, why did you trick me? Laban tells him, don't worry. Male Shavuazes, finish the week of this one. Finish Leah's week of Shavu Brachos. And then afterwards, after you finish Shavu Brachos, we'll give you Rachel as a wife right away. But just commit to work for me for another 7 years. But in any event, the idea is that Rachel could not be given to Yaakov right away. The Shavu Brachos had to be completed. So from here we learn Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer and the Yerushalmi Ma'id Katan, and Thesis in the Bavli quotes us in several places, a rule that Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, that you're not meant to mix two different smachas, that you're not meant to mix two different joyous occasions. And this is an application in Halacha, for example, we learn that you're not meant to get married on Yom Tov, because that would be a case of Eruv Simcha B'Simcha, mixing one joyous event with another joyous event. The Rebbe explains that the Soyid, what's behind this rule of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, is a psychological assessment. There are two perspectives that we might have on different stimuli for joy. One might say that add as many stimuli as joy for possible. The more joyous occasions, heap them all on, the more stimuli, the happier you'll be. However, the Torah here is telling us with this rule of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, that keeping on too many occasions for joy actually distracts from your ability to be present, from your ability to fully appreciate the one joy. And for that reason, the Torah says, only experience, only be present in one joyous occasion at a time. So that's the rule of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. However, says the Rebbe, this is a little bit strange. How could it be that we learn a halacha from before Matan Torah? After all, the Gemara in Bava Basra famously tells us that Nitna Torah v'nischad shahalacha. Once the Torah was given, we have a completely new halachic system. And as a result, you can't learn from things that were before Matan Torah. So the Rebbe explains by offering a distinction. There's a chiluk, there's a distinction between applying a religious practice, a spiritual practice, which was done before Matan Torah, and applying a psychological assessment, which was true before Matan Torah. In the realm of religion, says the Rebbe, it's true that everything that was before, any ways in which people tried to connect to Hashem, we see that Noyach was busy connecting to Hashem, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shem, and Aver, that was all wonderful. But when it comes to Matan Torah, that's a total shift in the way that we organize our religious practices, in the way that we connect to Hashem. However, when it comes to the human psyche, inherently the human psyche is the same as it was before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. It's just that after Matan Torah gives us new tools in which to elevate, refine, and perfect the human psyche. The Rebbe tells us that we live in a fractured world. Evidence of that fractured world is the fact that we all live in sin after the Eitz Hadas. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that the Nachash, that the Nachash HaKadmoni, the primordial snake, was Hitl Zuma B'Chava. He injected venom into Chava and thereby contaminated Chava's progeny, contaminated the human race. So we still have, Kabbalah tells us, the remnants of the Chet Sadas in this world which we need to work on, and those will not be completely perfected until Mashiach comes. Similarly, the Medrash Rabbah tells us that Chet Sadas was not the only relevant sin, but there were other sins done by humanity, and the world that we live in is physically and psychologically impacted and spiritually impacted by all the negative results of the things that people did. And not only the things that people did, but other cosmic fractures within reality. One that the Rebbe refers to here, which we're not going to go into, is the Kabbalistic idea of Shviras HaKelim. That the Rizal tells us that the world we live in is a broken world. We live in a world where there are the shards of these Kelim, of these spiritual entities which existed in a prior time. And we live in the world of tikkun, the world of repair, where we need to repair the Shviras HaKelim. So Matan Torah does not fix the fact that we live in a fractured world. And our psyche is still the same fractured psyche. It's just that Matan Torah gives us new tools which allow us to climb immeasurably farther than we would have without Matan Torah. An example of this might be Shabbos. In his Sefer Luchas V'Shivri Luchas, Rav Shagar explains that there are spiritual practices outside the Yiddishkeit which try to bring a person to the spiritual state that every Jew or many Jews feel on Shabbos. However, by the Jewish people, you don't have to be some great mystic, some great meditator to experience an uplifted Shabbos. Many Jews, just by putting on Shabbos clothing, eating Shabbos food, going to shul, feel an uplifted sense. So in this way, receiving the Torah is almost like a spiritual shortcut. But not only is it a spiritual shortcut, it even brings us to heights that are higher than we could have gotten to before we received the Torah. So this is certainly helpful in terms of appreciating what it is that Matan Torah has done. Meaning on the one hand, we understand what it's not. Torah is not a panacea. It's not a fix-all. There still are real problems in the world. We cannot run away from them. We have to address them. And those are, in a sense, the same human problems, the same global problems that existed before Matan Torah. We haven't jumped out of history just by the fact that we received the Torah and by the fact that we're Jewish people. We still exist within the context of history. But that said, on the other hand, we learn that Torah gives us special tools for dealing with the challenges of reality that we face. But now that said, does it all end with Matan Torah? Is Matan Torah the final stage on the progression? Or might there be other points along the way where Hashem gives us new tools in order to confront a challenging reality? So the Rebbe tells us, and this is a common theme in Likutei Sichos, that Matan Torah happens b'chodesh hashlishi. It happens in the third month. Third month counting from Nisan. We have Nisan Iyar Sivan. Sivan is the third month. In a similar fashion, says the Rebbe, you have another chodesh hashlishi. And that is the month of Kislev. Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev. Kislev is the month in which Yud Tes Kislev happens. It's the month in which the Alter Rebbe, the Baal Tanya, is freed from prison and is thereby allowed now to really express Chassidus. And before Yudas Kislev, the Alter Rebbe did not express Chassidus, expound on Chassidus at great length. After Yudas Kislev, the Alter Rebbe began to expound at much greater length. So in that sense, Yudas Kislev is a sort of Matan Torah of Torah Chassidus. And the Rebbe tells us, based on a principle from the Alter Rebbe and Tayyar Ar, that Hashem reveals himself in new ways to us in every generation according to the conditions of that generation. But particularly, the revelation of Chassidus is a qualitatively new revelation which allows us to go much farther than we could before. True, we're still in the same fractured world. We still have the same fractured psyches, and that's why we can learn lessons about the human psyche even from before Matan Torah now. That said, Chassidus gives us new tools and new perspectives to go much farther along that path of repairing our fractured selves and repairing the fractured world that we inhabit. And if that's the case, it's our responsibility to seek out the teachings of Chassidus, to plumb the teachings of Chassidus, to mine the teachings of Chassidus, and apply them to our lives in order that we actualize Chassidus' healing powers.